Praise God. I love that we were singing one of those songs, Sarah, and it was like this cry for, really, for heaven to invade the earth. You know, when you get born again and the Spirit of God lives inside of you, that there's something that changes inside of you, and there's this desire to see justice. There's this desire to see wrongs righted. There's this desire inside of you to see things that you come in contact with, to see them change by the power of God. Yes. And see, that's a good thing. That's a righteous thing. That cry in your heart. And see, God wants us to feel His heart. It was expressed in a song a number of years ago, and it was expressed like this: Lord, break my heart with the things that break your heart. Cause me to feel how you feel about things, because I want to represent you. I'm your kid. And I want to see things from your perspective. And I want to know, God, show me how to be an instrument that will release your kingdom into the earth to bring the changes that need to take place. Jesus said, pray like this: your kingdom come. Yes. It's happening already in heaven. God is ruling and reigning fine in heaven, but it's this cry for God to rule and reign in the earth, for God's will to be done around us. And that's a holy, that's a righteous thing inside of us. Is there somebody here, you've got pain in your back? It's kind of between your shoulder blades, maybe just a little bit to the right, and it's something that sometimes it will actually kind of go into a spasm, And it really hurt. And other times it's more like an ache, but it's like it's hardly ever not noticeable. Okay, Cheryl, stand up. Is there anybody else? Monique, stand up. Now, are you standing up too, Michael? Okay. Those of you that are around people that are standing, could you just get up and lay hands on them and pray for them? Father, we just ask you to release your kingdom right now in Jesus' name. Father, we speak to these backs. We command them to be healed right now. I command injuries to be healed. I command pain to go right now in Jesus' name. I command just a full restoration of momentum and movement to be restored to these backs in the name of Jesus. Pain, go. Se fue al dolor en el nombre de Jesús. Now just take a minute and move around a little bit and see if you feel any difference in your back. And as you hear me say a lot of times, there's no wrong answer in a situation like this. But check it out. Now, let me just ask the question. Those of you that were standing to receive healing, If you experience some difference in there, would you just raise your hand and say, yeah, I'm experiencing some difference, okay? Okay. Okay, excellent. Daniel, were you standing for prayer?
No.
Okay. Cheryl, I'm going to go after that, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Can you come up here? Was there anybody else that didn't experience, did you experience something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, awesome. You can sit down.
Oh, thank you.
You can sit on his lap if you want. So, ¿cuánto tiempo tienes?
Hace como 20 años, pero hoy en día estoy experimentándolo más desde diciembre.
Okay. I'd like to translate that for you. Ever since I was a little girl, I loved peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
A little bit higher.
Stretch out your hands. I need to come back up here too. Father, we just release your healing power right now in Jesus' name. I break the power of this thing in the name of Jesus. Spirit of infirmity, I rebuke you. I command you to leave this body totally and completely in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your healing touch in the name of Jesus.
Oh, there it goes.
Yeah. I can feel it too.
Yeah.
Thank you, God. Father, we just thank you.
Thank you.
You are the healer. And we just love you so much for releasing your kingdom into people's lives, Lord. Thank you for your touch. In Jesus' name. Okay, what's happening?
It's like cold water almost. And it kind of came through this shoulder.
Uh-huh.
Kind of went down, and you know, I realized that my high neck and my low back were also pretty jacked
affected
from this. And so it's something that I know is going to continue.
Because yeah.
It's kind of this slow.
And it really is true. If you've got a problem here, it'll affect stuff above it, and it can even affect stuff below it. So, Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we just ask for a total and complete miracle in the name of Jesus.
Yes, God, I receive it.
And you know, the way you release, when a miracle begins, the way you release, or almost think of it like a healing could be like a present. And you know, part of it comes, but the way you unwrap it is by just being thankful for what he does. You know, maybe we pray for your arm and I could only lift it to there, but now I can lift it to there. I just begin thanking him for that. Thank you, God. And it unlocks the rest of it. So anyway, I look forward to talking to you after service. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I feel like I've got some exciting in my spirit that I want to talk to you about today. And it's really an invitation into something that you were created for. And so I want to begin, I don't think I've ever done this before, but I want to begin this service by watching a video of Stephen Curtis Chapman singing a song called The Great Adventure. And let's just listen to it.
Inside my head of all I had to do today.
And I promise that we won't start out next Sunday's service with Stairway to Heaven. I promise. But I want to talk about the great adventure that God has called each one of us to. It's an adventure in representing Jesus Christ, our Savior, the leader of our life. It's an adventure of being part of an organization that I sometimes refer to as God and Sons. What is the nature of this adventure? What are we called to do? What is our assignment? Every time I've started a new job, it's been advantageous to have a job description, you know? Like, what is my job description? What am I supposed to be doing? Don't just hire me and turn me loose. Well, as Christians, what is our job description? I want to look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and just look at these two verses together today. This is Peter declaring some things to us about us. He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now you have attained mercy. Now, I want to look at these things that Peter says, particularly in verse 9. Holy Spirit, I pray that the reality of these things, Spirit of God, that you would make them so real to us that we can step into them in Jesus' name. He says, you are a chosen generation. God chose you. He picked you. Do you realize that? You did not choose him. He chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in his name, he will give you. God chose you to represent him in the earth. You are a chosen generation. God chose you to represent him. Secondly, you are a royal priesthood. Now see, in God's kingdom, you're not just a subject in his kingdom. You are actually in the family of the king. You are royalty. You are part of the royal family. You are a royal priesthood. Now, a priest would hold a special position before God. A priest could stand before God representing the people, or the priest could stand before the people representing God. As a believer, you are a royal priest. You can stand before God interceding for people. And as you stand before the people, you can represent God. You can proclaim the praises of God, testifying of his goodness. And thirdly, you are a holy nation. You have been set apart unto God. You belong to him. You are his property. Your holiness comes from him. He is a holy God. When something is sanctified, it is set apart for God. There were certain things in the temple of Moses that they sanctified and set apart for sacred use only. You have been set apart to the Lord your God. And fourthly, you are his own special people. Now the word special there, some translations say peculiar, and it doesn't mean weird. This is not a scripture to give you an excuse to be weird. Yeah, I know. The word actually means that he acquired you. God acquired you. He paid a price for you to belong to him. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We are all those things, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people for a purpose, that we might proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You and I have been chosen by God to proclaim his praises to the world. The praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are salt. We are light in the earth. That's who you are. In fact, let's look at when Jesus talks about that. Matthew chapter 5. Edgar, could I ask a favor of you? Could you fill this up with more water for me? Now, it's going to be his fault that I'm able to preach longer. What did he say? Did he say tackle him? Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. Is the overhead not working?
We're having Facebook issues, so there's a lot going on.
Okay. Well, I hear if you have issues, they have a group for that on Friday nights.
Well, the internet needs to go.
Okay. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. Salt changes the taste of things. Salt adds flavor. Thank you so much. Have you ever been eating something and you just think, man, this needs some salt? Any of you? Okay, you know, it really can make a difference. It really flavors things. You are to bring flavor to the world around you. Amen. You are to change the flavor of the world around you. You are the light of the world. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Yes. Now today I want to talk about this great adventure that God has called each and every one of us into. Jesus said initially that he was the light of the world. But at a certain point, that shifted. It shifted from him to us. Why? Because Jesus ascended into heaven. Now we are the body of Christ in the earth. Now we are the light of the world. And he wants to shine his light through us. We are to let that light shine where there is darkness. And see, that's really what the great adventure is. We are to let our light shine. Now, what will stop us from doing that? I want to address that today. What would hinder you and I from being light, from letting our light shine in the darkness? Alexander the Great, how many have ever heard of him? He was actually the most successful or thought to be the most successful military commander in history. He was undefeated. He lived about 350 BC. And by the time of his death, he had conquered most of the known world. Now, that's pretty amazing when you consider that he only lived to 32 years old. The story is told of him one time. He's with some of his leaders. They were on horseback traveling. They'd conquered every nation that they found, and they're just traveling to see if there's more nations to conquer. And they came to this place where all of the maps ended. You know, everybody had their map out, and they came to this place, and the map It ended. And so Alexander just says, let's keep going. And the leaders are kind of looking at each other and looking at their maps, and what do we do? But I want to ask you this question today. Are you willing to follow your leader into uncharted territory? Into the great unknown. I love that song by Stephen Curtis Chapman. I heard my daughter say earlier that it was an old song. I like that perspective. Some of us are really seasoned. That's right. Amen. Saddle up your horses. We've got a trail to blaze through the wild blue yonder of God's amazing grace. Let's follow our leader into the glorious unknown. This is a life like no other. This is the great adventure. So what can stop us from launching into this great adventure? I'll tell you exactly what stops most of us. Yes, but I'm going to reduce it to a couple words. It's our comfort zone. We don't tend to like to step out of our comfort zone because that would take us into unfamiliar territory, into the great unknown, and we don't like that. There's just something about that. Like, I'm comfortable here. There are people that are comfortable sitting in the back of the church. And if you put them in the front of the church, it's like out of their comfort zone a little bit. Now, I'm not saying that about everybody in the back of the church. I'm not saying that at all. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying we have certain places, to use an analogy, where we like to sit. And we're comfortable there as long as we can be here. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? In 1995, Mickey and I were getting married. And there were a number of pastors at our wedding, and one of them began to prophesy over Mickey and I at the wedding. And the word was about traveling the nations. Now, here's the thing about prophecy. It will either confirm something already in your heart, and it's wonderful when it does that. It's wonderful when, you know, you've been stirring, you've been feeling like God is saying something to you, and all of a sudden the word comes and confirms that. It's wonderful. So it will either confirm something that's already in your heart, or it will tell you about something to come. Now, honestly, at that point in time in my life, traveling the nations was not in my heart. I had taken a team on a mission trip. Sarah was actually one of the young people that was on that mission trip. So was the superintendent of the penitentiary and their spouse. And there was a number of people in this team that I took to Juarez, Mexico. I got to preach, and we were helping them finish off their building. And it was a good time. It was great. But it wasn't in my heart to travel the nations. I just thought of myself as a local church pastor. I'll be happy as a local church pastor. And so I took that word and I put it on the shelf. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't want to reject it. So I put it on the shelf. And 7 years later, I know exactly when it came off the shelf. I remember the very moment in time. It was amazing, but it also took me out of my comfort zone. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So Mickey and I began to travel with some other ministries that were doing it. It was great. It was taking me out of my comfort zone a little bit, but I kept getting invites back to places that I had been. I had been to Peru with Todd Bentley and a team of people. And then I had been to Brazil. And then I had with Randy Clark and Global Awakening. Then I went to Mexico City with Randy Clark. And I kept getting invites back from pastors and leaders in those countries, only they weren't inviting the Global Awakening team. They were inviting me. And it was beyond my comfort zone. And I finally, at one point in time, I said, okay, I'll do it. I had been with Randy Clark in Mexico City in 2005, February. And in August of that year, 6 months later, I finally said yes to an invitation to come back there. Now, it was scary, and it felt risky. It was out of my comfort zone. And I basically told God, I'll go, and if you show up, I'll go anywhere you want in the world, but if you don't show up, this is my last trip. So I went to Mexico City in August of 2005. And I had a couple speaking engagements, set up three to be exact. I spent the rest of the time just praying in my hotel room and walking around the city around my hotel and just praying. Well, we had these three meetings and God showed up and the adventure began. And what I'm trying to say to you is this. In your notes, on the other side of our comfort zone is the great adventure. But it will take you out of your comfort zone. In other words, beyond your comfort zone is where the great adventure is found. Now, that same year, a couple of months later, I traveled to Peru by myself. It felt risky, but God showed up. Then after that, Mickey started traveling with me. And it has been the most amazing adventure of our lives. The miracles, the stories, the people, God's goodness. I would not trade it for anything. But I had to press beyond my comfort zone to step into this great adventure. And I want to tell you that in the beginning, it felt very risky. It was the great unknown. We were so dependent on God. But isn't that a good place to be? I want to invite each one of you today into the great adventure. And it doesn't have anything to do with leaving the country. It has to do with something else. I've often heard Randy Clark say these words, and they're in your notes. He would say, we all need more faith, R-I-S-K, faith. We all need more faith, R-I-S-K, faith. Because it's in the stepping out and doing the things that feel risky that the kingdom of God is released. If you are content to just stay within your comfort zone, you will not experience the great adventure. You'll hear other people talk about it, and you'll think, wow, that just sounds so exciting. But you will not experience it unless you're willing to saddle up your horse and start blazing a new trail. I want to call you out of your comfort zone today into the great adventure in Jesus' name. And you don't have to travel to another country. I saw many miracles before we traveled to another country, but the miraculous began to increase around us, no matter whether we were traveling or whether we were home, really because we started taking risks. It's not about where you are geographically. It's about whether you're willing to take chances for the kingdom. Now, in your notes, every time you take a risk, you are creating an opportunity for God to show up. Every time you take a risk, you create an opportunity for God to come. You are inviting heaven to invade the earth. Every time you speak to someone about God, when you mention the name of Jesus, you are creating an opportunity for God to show up. You are creating an opportunity for someone to have an encounter with God. Every time you pray for someone, you are creating an opportunity for heaven to invade the earth. Oh, your shoulder hurts? Can I pray for you? Sounds like your marriage is struggling. Can I pray for you? Oh, you're sick to your stomach? Can I pray for you? Every time you put yourself out there like that, you're inviting God to come and invade the earth. Jesus said these words shortly before he ascended into heaven. I'm reading Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We all know these words. I do have notes in Spanish in the app. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now the word power there is the word dunamis. It means the ability of God. It's talking about supernatural ability. It will enable you to give witness to my resurrection, to demonstrate through the miraculous that I am alive. You shall receive power. Poder in español, ser capaz de, tener capacidad para, tener la habilidad de Dios, the power to demonstrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. El poder de demostrar la resurrección, help me with pronunciation, resurrección de Jesucristo. Say it. I have the confirmation of two witnesses. Well, how do we tap into that power? The power that was given to me when the Holy Spirit came upon my life. Do you know how? When God first began to challenge me to go after healing, at first I just hung out in my prayer closet. Oh God, give me the power to heal the sick. I want to demonstrate your kingdom. Oh God. And I was waiting for him to do something. Make my hands tingle or feel warm or something like that. And one day I felt like God challenged me to stop hiding in my prayer closet. Can you imagine? I felt like you said, if you want to feel something in your hands, go out and start praying for sick people. God, give me an opportunity to... Well, see, God wants to show up, but what creates the opportunity for him to show up is when we step out and take a risk. He basically was saying to me, God, he was saying, son, give me an opportunity to show up. Quit hiding in your prayer closet. Go out and start doing what you want to see happen and give me an opportunity to demonstrate the kingdom. Now, I got to be careful with what I just said, because I don't want to minimize the value of your prayer closet. That's not what I'm trying to say. Go into your prayer closet and ask him to use you to impact people, but then go out from there and start taking risks and give him the opportunity to show up. Are you hearing me? By putting yourself in what feels like a risky situation, it's creating an opportunity for God to show up. It's actually inviting God to come and be God and do what only God can do. When you lay hands on somebody to pray for them to be healed, you realize that, man, I can't do this. It's got to be God. If something's going to happen here, it's got to be God. Invite God to come and be God. It's stepping out at work or at the grocery store and talking about God, declaring his praises to those around you, stepping out in what you were commissioned to do. I started going into juvie about 20 years ago, hace 20 años. I was getting to know a young man in there. His name was Daryl, and he was a meth addict. He was 17 years old, flunked out of school, got in trouble with the law. That's why I was in juvie. It's very easy when you're in addiction to start doing things that are illegal just to try to fund your addiction. And so he's in juvie. I'm going in there with a group on Tuesdays, 4 p.m., and we always have a lesson when we go in, and then we paired up with kids. We would pair up and spend the rest of the time just talking, helping them work through whatever we were talking about. Well, he and I just really connected. And so I started going in there other than Tuesday. I would go in there on Friday or some other day and meet with him for an hour, just he and I. And it was amazing. He and I were in this room. I think it was a Friday afternoon, and there's a camera, so there are people watching us, but it's just he and I in this room. And all of a sudden, the conversation went to the Lord. I just started talking about God, and immediately he said, you know, sometimes I want to believe in God, sometimes I don't want to believe in God, and sometimes I don't know what God to believe in. And, you know, that was just him being real, honest. You know, I said to him, you know, there are so many religions in the world today. I can see why it would be confusing. But there is a big difference between religion and Christianity. Religion is man reaching out, trying to find God, trying to be good enough, trying to earn favor with God somehow. But Christianity is God reaching down to man through his Son, Jesus Christ, saying, let me show you why I created you. Let me show you what life is supposed to be about. And I remember saying to him, you know, that there is another big difference between Christianity and all of the other religions. Daryl said, okay, tell me. I said, the guy that started Christianity, even though they killed him, he rose from the dead. And he is alive today. And miracles still take place in his name. And Mickey and I had just come back from Brazil about 3 weeks before this. And so I started telling him about a miracle that we saw there. I said there was this gal that came up to Mickey. There was a pack of gals, but there was really one that just wanted prayer. And she came to Mickey, and she was about your age, Daryl. I would say she's pretty close to your age. But she was is this what they call bow-legged? Is that the term? And how many know that's actually not a foot or a leg problem? That's a hip problem. And so she comes up to Mickey, and she says, in Portuguese, I just want to be able to kneel when I pray. And then she said, I just want to be able to dance before the Lord. And so Mickey, you know, she's up in the front area praying for people. She just has her sit on the stage. And she starts praying for her. And right in front of her eyes, and in front of the eyes of all these gal friends of hers, God just healed her. And her feet went up. And she stood up. Mickey says, stand up. She stood up. And dare I say, for the first time in her life, her feet were out in front of her. She immediately just fell to her knees. And then she jumped up and just started dancing around the whole place. And so I'm telling Daryl about this miracle, and Daryl says, well, if I saw something like that, I would believe. And so I knew that Daryl had a bad back, because every time I would get together with him, he could only sit for a little bit. He could sit for a little bit, then he would have to stand up and kind of move around a little bit. And so I knew he had some kind of problem. So I just said, hey, Daryl, can I pray for your back? Said, sure. So I just put my hand behind his back. It was his lower back area. And I prayed a simple prayer. Guess what? It felt risky. Just so you know. And so I prayed this prayer, and I said, well, stand up and test it. And so he stands up, and he goes all the way to the floor, and he looks up at me and says, I can't do this. He said, no, I'm going to say it this way. He said something else. I'm not kidding you. He said something else. He said, I can't do this. And he stood up, and all the pain was gone. And so he and I were really excited. And I got to lead him to the Lord during that time. And God is good. But that happened because of a willingness to step out of the comfort zone. Oh, man, is it worth it? Oh, my goodness. It is so worth it. So I didn't see him again for several days. That was on a Friday, and so Tuesday I'm back in with the group, and I pair up with him, and he says, you know, I've never felt so much peace in all of my life. Even though he had gotten in trouble and with the law, he said, and his sentencing was coming up, but he said, I have such peace. I said, I don't know. I don't understand it. It's like I'm not even worried about anything. I said, well, that's the peace of God. You can live there. But then, right after that, he explained to me the magnitude of the back miracle. I didn't know any of this before I prayed. Probably good I didn't. He had broken his back snowboarding. He had been in a full body cast for 6 months. And after he got out of the cast, the doctor told him, you know, it's healed as much as it's probably going to heal. You're going to have to learn to live with the pain. Well, God had a different idea. Amen. And not only did Daryl get saved, but his dad got saved too. And for me, it began a relationship with their family. A few years later, Daryl's coming. He came. He was happened to be in town, so he came into juvie with me. To minister to the kids. I had the privilege of doing his dad's memorial service years later. But all because of just taking a chance. All because of stepping out of a comfort zone and saying, God be God. Mark chapter 16. I want to read the words of Jesus out of this passage. This is Jesus commissioning you and me. Now, in your notes, God will never ask you to do something that he won't empower you to do. God will never ask you to do something that he won't give you the ability to do it. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power to witness, power to demonstrate the kingdom. So I'm reading Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's talking to us. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Now notice, he's not talking about these signs will follow the apostles. No, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, the only qualification here is to be a believer. These signs will follow those who believe. You will cast out demons. You will speak with new tongues. Believers will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. How many believers are here today? Not everybody's owning up to it. This is the great adventure. This is a life like no other. This is what you were created for. Stop believing the lies of the enemy. Let any self-imposed limitations fall off of you in Jesus' name. Stop believing the lies and start believing God, your creator, What does God say about you? You are the light of the world. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't limitations. That we all have certain limitations that are real. For me, I don't know if you knew this about me, but I can't fly without an airplane. Now, that was very disappointing to me. And I remember as a kid having dreams where I could fly. Anybody ever have flying dreams? They were so cool. I used to go to sleep trying to think about it so it would I could go into that kind of a dream. One time I went to Payne School, which is where Lincoln Alternative School is now. It was an elementary school, first through sixth grade. And in my dream, I'm in the play area, which is in the back. And there was kind of a bully, a guy that was a bully that used to pick on me. Well, he's coming at me, and all of a sudden, I just take off flying. It felt so good. Anyway, I'm learning to live with the limitation that I can't fly. That's a real limitation. But how many of you know that we can also create a lot of limitations that are self-imposed, that are not real, that they're based on a lie of the enemy? You know, throughout history, there were certain things that people said will never happen. This could never happen. They were considered impossible. They said the sound barrier could never be broken. And yet, in 1947, Chuck Yeager broke it. And once it was, the limitation was removed. They said the four-minute mile could never be broken. Yet in 1954, I was a year old, Roger Bannister broke it. And of course, many, many people have done it ever since then. We keep breaking limitations because they're man-made limitations. They were self-imposed. I just declare that limitations are being broken off of you right now in Jesus' name. You are who God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. You have what God says you have. One last illustration. I find this amazing. They have discovered that if you take an elephant when it's a toddler, which means young, when it's very young, and you pound a metal stake into the ground deep, and you get a rope that's fabricated with metal, and you tie it to the pole, and you tie it to the foot of the elephant, that baby young elephant will try and try and try to get free. But there will come a certain point in time where that elephant will just embrace the limitation. Now, here's the weird thing, that once that elephant has embraced that limitation, when they get big, you can just put a wooden stake in the ground and just a regular rope around their foot, and they think they're bound. But how many of you know they're not? They could so easily break out of that limitation. They could so easily. It's a self-imposed limitation. I wonder how many of those we have in our lives. Whenever I hear that story, I just want to pray, Lord, break off of me any self-imposed limitations that I have embraced that are not true. See, sometimes when we're young, like a toddler elephant, we try to do some things in God, and they don't exactly work, so we think, I guess that's not meant to be. But no, you've grown up now. You're not that baby Christian anymore. You are a heck of a lot stronger. Is it okay to say heck in church, Ed? I don't know. Okay. I guess it is. The mouth of two or more witnesses. Thank you, Lord. When I hear that elephant story, it just makes me want to pray about breaking limitations off my life and breaking limitations off of people around me, breaking it off their lives. Let's stand. I want to pray. Actually, I want you to pray with me this morning. Would you do that? Heavenly Father, I am your child. I am more than a conqueror in you. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am who you say I am. I can do what you say I can do. I have what you say I have. I am salt. I am light. I will let my light shine in the darkness. I break every self-imposed limitation off. In Jesus' name. I break off every lie of the enemy. In Jesus' name. I break out of my comfort zone. In Jesus' name. I will take risks to see your kingdom come. I am stepping into the great adventure. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to, normally I would call up the worship team and we'd do a song, but I want to just play that Great Adventure song again. Would that be okay? I've got a different version of it. I think it has the words on the screen, but let's do that. Then I will release you.
Hello? Okay. I apologize we weren't here earlier this morning. We were having unexpected car troubles. But we're here, even though it's late. So we will be here after the service today. If anyone was interested in serving at the Holiday Park Plaza, the retirement center, with the chapel that we're putting on this coming Saturday morning, then I have the volunteer forms today. If you're online and you're not here in person, I'd be happy to get with you this week to do that. So we're meeting, you know, at 9:30 in the parking lot. If you are going to help us out with a lady with her yard work, then we're meeting at the church at 1 on the same day this coming Saturday. All right, thank you so much.
So the morning one, you're meeting in the parking lot of Park Plaza.
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Yes.
You know, that's a great opportunity to let your light shine.
Saddle up your horses.